Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores.
Football flags.
Football flags. Do you have a football flag? What does it look like?
It's red and black, baby.
I want to see. Oh, actually, that makes a lot of sense. So this is the week of August 28th. As usual, I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Lonato.
I'm Rob Steller.
So this week, we're going to talk about all the major leagues. All of them are in play at this point, so there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Then after that, we'll go into the Champions League draw, which actually happened over the week, and we'll talk about all the teams, the group matchups, and see how that went. And then finally, we're going to get to our topic of the day, which is there was a rule change to the Champions League in terms of who qualifies. Four teams per league in the top four major leagues that automatically
qualify. What if a Champions League where the points don't matter?
Yeah, so we're going to get into that and talk about it, whether or not you guys like that change, whether or not it's BS, so we'll get into that. So let's get into the talking. Okay, so we're going to get started with Germany. So Bayern Munich got off to an interesting start. It was a pretty close game. No, it wasn't. So they played actually the first game of the season in the Bundesliga, and they were on Friday. They ended up winning 6-0.
That's a lot of goals.
That's a pretty good start. And, you know, there's always questions of, you know, once Pep leaves, obviously Ancelotti is a ridiculously good coach, but there's always that question of how are they going to do. So far, they've done really well. Even in the German Cup, they've done really well. So, I don't know. It sounds like they're going to just keep rolling.
League over?
Yeah. I will say the one thing is Borussia Dortmund also won. They won 2-1. It was a little closer than that. They had, I believe, a 2-0 lead, and then they gave up a late goal. But Dortmund is still a really solid side. I mean, I feel like I say this every year, though. And I don't know. Munich has more depth. Dortmund is still a really solid side. I think having Thomas Tuchel changes things to a degree. I mean, it's not like it's his first season there, but his first full season. And I don't know. I think it's still going to be interesting to watch. I think they still play really good football. I can't wait. I don't know what week it is, but whenever they play each other. But it does feel like, yeah, there's only two teams in the league, and we're going to have to see if Dortmund can keep up with Munich. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I watched that game, and, man, they were like, this is probably their best performance in a while.
Yeah.
They were clicking nonstop. I mean, they had like 27 shots and like 16 or something were on target. They were, all their goals were really nice too. I think they hit the post a few times. They were just destroying them.
Yeah. 14 on target, 27 shots.
It was insane. Like they were just all wicked nicely set up, like 1-2s, headered, like through balls. It was very nice.
Nope. No yellow cards, no reds. Like just good game overall.
So in France, we are just keeping tabs on PSG, and actually they played Monaco this weekend, who
we might have to start following them,
beating them 3-1. AS Monaco won 3-1. João Moutinho had a 13-minute goal. Fabinho had a PK in the right at the half, and then Cavani scored in the 63rd, and then Serge Aurier had a own goal. But it was from according. I didn't watch the game, but the stats seemed like they were pretty even, except for possession. But Monaco had more shots, total shots, more crosses. Obviously, PSG should have a little bit more possession, which they did. But they only had 6 shots and 2 on goal. So this is going to be the. I mean, this is going to be the two teams that fight for the top spots, I think. And Monaco beat them the first time around. So the second game will obviously be way more important, but it'll be interesting to see how they do against all the other club teams from now on.
Yeah, actually, I think this will be more interesting than we think if this holds. Because, I mean, 3-1, that's not a close victory. That's a solid win, especially, I mean, so PSG, the big thing is they lost Ibra. And obviously, you're going to lose some goals, but I didn't think it would be like this. I mean, their first game, it was 1-0, and it took them a long time to score that goal. I guess I just didn't think they would drop in quality this quickly, but who knows, or either that or maybe Monaco is better than we think. I think Monaco's had their ups and downs. They had that big investment a number of years ago, and then I'm pretty sure they basically ran out of money or they stopped spending money, so Monaco just had to lose all their, you know, Galacticos or whatever you want to call them. But it seems like, I don't know, they seem like they have a stronger squad. Admittedly, Monaco did, I believe they drew their first game, so they're still 2 points. Or actually, well, okay, now they're not 2 points behind PSG. But before the game started, they were still behind them. So, I don't know, I think this might be
No, it's not.
Can they do it without Ibra?
I don't know, which is crazy to think. But yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
All right, so let's move on to Italy. We had two big games on Saturday. Lazio and Juventus kicked us off in the early game, and Khedira with the only goal. Lazio was holding on really well for most of the game. Khedira scored in the 66th for the only goal in all 3 points. Then we had Napoli versus Milan. Oh, boy. Dave and I were watching some of the highlights before. I watched the game, but I was showing Dave some of the highlights. So Milan had a terrible first half, gave up two goals in the 18th and 33rd. So went into the halftime break down two away. And Montella, I think, must have said something right, because for once we actually looked like we were going to come back. Niang and Suso got two goals in 5 minutes after the break, 51st and 55th goal, minute goal, and tied it up, and it looked like, okay, now we have a chance. and then we gave up a goal in the 74th, Callejon scored, and then we kind of just imploded. Kuchka got called for a foul, for a yellow card, and then said something to the ref and got a second yellow right there, so got sent off. And then Niang, who was on a yellow, just kind of grabbed Reyna, brushed him. Did you see it though?
No, I didn't see it.
I don't know. So there was
red card.
There was, I think, 11 or 12 yellow cards in this game. And I was reading something about the history of, I guess this ref just historically gives Milan a lot of red cards.
Really?
Yeah. So, so Niang just touched Reyna. Reyna dove like a little punk. And, I mean, Niang shouldn't have no business touching him in the first place, because Reyna just had the ball and he was just carrying it out. And then Niang kind of like brushes him. He falls down, gets a second yellow. So two red cards for the game. Honestly, so right in the end, Romagnoli could have had a third red. Probably should have had a third red.
Definitely.
Basically,
8 versus 11.
He was protecting a cross in the 93rd, and then it spun backwards on him. So in stumbling backwards towards the goal, just slapped the ball out, which is definitely a red card in the PK. But the ref allowed play to go on, and then they scored, so we only got a yellow. So that was a little bit of mercy for us. We had, I think it was 6 of the 11 under 23 years old of our starting 11.
Really?
And the average age for starters, I think it's
the Olympics?
Like 24, 24 and a half. So it's good to see a young team on the field. And I think the energy and also, you know, the resilience to come back after being 2-0 down was great. And then you just saw the inexperience. Like, you know, all the guys, Romagnoli and Niang should really know better. Especially Kuchka, because he's been around for a little while, should not be just mouthing off like that. Like, just a dumb thing.
Yeah.
Like, to be quite honest, it was embarrassing to watch. So, like, I've been trying to get my girlfriend to watch soccer, and I was like, okay, let's watch. And, you know, they scored the two goals, and it's like, okay, this is pretty exciting. You know, 2-2. They got one down. And then just to see how bad this behavior was, like, both of those red cards should have been prevented. I mean, it was just dumb. It was just them being frustrated and hot-headed that led to the cards. And it's embarrassing. It's really disgraceful, honestly. And, you know, I hope Montella takes this and just rails this team and makes sure that they get their shit together.
Who's your captain right now? Because I feel like
it's Montolivo. And honestly, though, and I've been saying this for a year now, is Abate is the one when fouls called and all the players are gathering around. Abate is in the middle. Well, he's vice captain. So he's in the middle talking to the ref and shoving our players away so that they don't get in more trouble.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what you need out of your captain, right? And honestly, Montolivo hasn't been playing that well. He's had pretty bad touches. And Abate's been the rock, really, in back. So, like, he's the one. And he's the one who's doing all the leadership on the field. So,
I mean, these are the things that show how important it is. It seems like such a little thing, the hot-headedness. But, man, when you're getting red cards for your team, and that's just stupid.
No,
honestly,
not,
even
I mean,
yellow cards, especially if you're a defensive player, it changes
that's
how you play.
Three red cards in two games that we've had.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And, we, you know, so our starting center back was not available for this match, and now we'll be missing Kuchka and Niang for next match. So it's like, you know, just stupid, stupid stuff.
And honestly, the other thing is I don't even know what it does. Like, actually, in the Barcelona game, so there was basically – it was a complete dive. One of our defenders just totally – he didn't even touch him. He ended up getting a card because it looked bad, but he literally didn't touch him. Busquets got in the ref's face. He ended up getting a yellow card. And it's like – it's not like – the ref, I don't even know if they can rescind a yellow card after they've given it, like after a little bit. Right. So it's like, it's not, the only thing possible is that maybe it'll get into the ref's head.
Yeah, but I mean, a makeup call or something
like
that.
Yeah, but honestly, I feel like that only happens when they realize how bad it was, like if there was something else, like a goal disallowed or something.
I get the frustration part of it, and especially there was a double handball like in the box for Milan that should have like given,
like volleyball,
it should have given us a PK that would have equalized potentially to 3-3. So, you know, I understand why they were frustrated, but it's just, you're hurting the team in the long run, right?
But one thing, just as quickly, the story of the game itself was you trying to watch this game.
Oh, I gotta, I have such beef with beIN Sports. Like, first of all, and they have the HD logo on the side, and for years, they've always letterboxed the game, and it's been well below HD.
Yeah,
quality.
It was actually really weird.
Shit quality.
Yeah, it was not
so
good at all.
So, I switched to PlayStation View because I cut cable, so I had the login for beIN Sports Connect, so you have access to 10 of their channels. And so you're like, oh, okay. Well.
And this is important because...
Right, because the Real Madrid game was on at the same time. So Real Madrid was playing on beIN Sports, the broadcast channel, the Spanish channel, and for some reason beIN Sports too, because they needed another... I don't know if... I hope it was in another language, I assume. I don't really know why they needed three channels for one game. Anyway, so it was scheduled to be on beIN Sports 4, and it wasn't until about half an hour into the game that the feed actually went up on their site, which is it's ridiculous. I don't know. It's crazy.
But then I remember, so we were all chatting to each other because we have a group chat, and Rob starts and he's complaining about how he's not seeing the scores. And then, he's not seeing the game. And then I don't know if he started watching the game or he saw the scores where it was 2-0. He's like, this is fucking stupid. This is so dumb. And then they come back and he's all excited again. And he in caps, he's saying the names of the players that scored. He's so excited. And then he stops talking. And I check later and it's 4-2.
Yeah,
I was like, and
red cards.
Like,
yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just saw that. Emotional roller coaster the whole time.
It was a rough Saturday. let's move on. So Sunday we had Internacional against Palermo. Inter drew 1-1, which is not a good start for them. Two games, one draw, one loss, 1 point out of two. And Palermo at home is a team you would expect them to beat. Icardi got an equalizer in the 72nd. Cagliari versus Roma, another big team goes down points. Roma, after going up two goals with the Perotti penalty in the 6th minute and Strootman goal in the 46th. Borriello, another former Milan player. So we're scoring just for different teams. And Sao got an equalizer late on to deny Roma all 3 points. We had a couple other matches. Crotone, one of the newcomers, lost to Genoa. 3-1. Genoa is doing really well right now. They're actually in first with this +6 goal differential. Fiorentina got a 1-0 win over Chievo Verona. Sampdoria, 2-1 win over Atalanta. Sassuolo, 2-1 over Pescara. Torino, 5-1 winners over Bologna. And Udinese, 2-0 over Empoli. So that leaves us with only 4 teams who have won both of their starting games. Genoa, Juventus, Sampdoria, and Sassuolo with a perfect record so far. Roma on 4 points, a number of teams on 3. And leaves Inter, man, with 1 point out of the first 2 games. So they got to stay down there because I hate them.
Yeah,
no, they need to figure out what's going on in their teams. And also Milan only has 3 points in their first 2 games, so...
Yeah, cool. So we will move over to La Liga. So on Saturday, Real Madrid ended up playing, and they ended up, I think it was Celta Vigo, they ended up winning 2-1. It was a little bit closer than I thought it would be. So it was basically 1-1 pretty late into the game, and then I think Cruz scored from a little further out. I think, you know, it's funny because on one end, I don't think Real Madrid was at the top of their game. I think Celta Vigo showed some of their... showed some of Real Madrid's deficiencies, but at the same time, right now, Real Madrid basically starting with half a team. Ronaldo's still not playing, Benzema's not playing, Keylor Navas isn't playing. Like, they have a lot of really good players that have yet to come into the squad. But it's good to see, at least for them, I guess, people like Morata scoring, and, I mean, whatever, Cruz scoring, so... there's some development there, and we'll see. I don't know how this team is going to shake out. I don't actually know when Benzema, Ronaldo, and Navas are coming back, but I think that'll change things quite a bit because, I mean, I can't imagine them not strengthening it. Although I think Morata has shown that he's probably worthy of starting, but I don't think it'll happen. Then Atleti played another promoted team. I believe it's Leganés, and they drew again.
Oh, man.
This is crazy. 2 games, 2 points. I'm pretty surprised.
Is their team much different than last year?
They bought some people. I'm not going to remember off the table. Let me think.
Is Torres starting?
Yeah, yeah. Torres plays, but
he subs on usually.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. They had some decent buys. The big loss that people thought they were going to have is Griezmann. And he didn't leave. So they kept him. I don't actually know what's happening right now, to be honest. They just haven't been playing up to their potential. I think they'll come back eventually. Last year, I don't think they had a great start either. And honestly, it's only 2 games. But it's a little worrying. It's a little weird. Admittedly, last week's game was kind of crazy. But this week, I mean, I don't know. Drawing twice, a little surprising. Anyway, moving on to our game. So we played Bilbao on Sunday. It was a way more stressful game than I expected. So we ended up winning 1-0. Rakitic scored in the first half with a nice header. But they pressed really high. And I can't tell you how long that ball was in our defensive third. Like, it was literally there. I think I read this somewhere. I read the headline that Marc-Andre Ter Stegen started because Bravo ended up moving to Man City. So Ter Stegen, I think, has a record for the number of passes by a goalkeeper. It's something like 50. Because literally, wow, he was just playing around with the ball and passing it because we were in the back so long because they were pressuring us so much and so well. And actually, one of them ended up being a big mistake by Ter Stegen. He ended up doing a back pass. Or not a back pass. He passed to one of our defenders. And the defender was clearly, like, there was a forward right on him. The forward ended up speeding up, got the ball, and shot it. Luckily, Ter Stegen saved it. But he's
Umtiti?
Dude, Umtiti has done really well. You don't realize he's a better player than you think. You haven't watched him. He's really good.
I've watched him a few times.
And it also helps. I mean, so that's another really interesting thing that you say that, because Mascherano is healthy now, and Umtiti was started. One big thing that Umtiti has on Mascherano is height. I mean, Umtiti, he's not like a super tall guy, but he's pretty tall. And it's kind of nice to have some decent-sized defenders when you're used to, like, you know, Mascherano, Jordi Alba, Dani Alves. Like, PK was our only tall guy. It's good to have another tall defender to stick in there. But either way, we got the win. It was away, which is San Mamés is always a tough place to play. I think it was a good win overall, but it was way tougher than I expected, and we had some good chances that we missed, but I think it was crazy because we also started a lot of people that didn't start last year. Like, Iniesta wasn't playing, Neymar still not playing, Mascherano didn't start, so we had a lot of new people playing, like Denis Suarez. We had, Jordi Alba was behind him. We had... was Sergio Roberto starting? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he did.
Arda Turan was playing. He's been playing well in the forward line. So it's interesting to see. We're all kind of going through changes. We played on the break a lot, which is not who we traditionally were, but that's who we are under Luis Enrique, which is actually nice to see that change of play because I think a lot of people kind of got adjusted to how we play. But that's how it is. So the big two, Real Madrid and Barcelona, are 2 out of 2. I think we're not in first on the table. Las Palmas is first on the table because they have the best goal differential. But whatever, it's still early on. I'm sure at some point it'll shake out, but we'll see what happens.
So over in England, the first game of the weekend was the Tottenham-Liverpool game, which was supposed to be a hyped game, supposed to be pretty good. Ended 1-1, so both teams got a point there. Milner had a first half PK, and then Danny Rose scored a rip from close range, pretty 72nd minute.
Do you think that was a deserved score?
Yeah, I mean, I think Liverpool and Tottenham are both right around the same, talent in like standings. I think they're going to finish like right around 4 or 5.
Even though I feel like they're built very differently, though. Like, Liverpool is clearly offensive, and I feel like Tottenham has more balance. But I see what you mean overall, though. I feel like
I thought it was a pretty even match the way.
Yeah,
it
definitely.
I kind of thought Liverpool should have won that game, but either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, they didn't.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it was pretty. If you look at the stats, it's very even: 51-49 possession, 11-4. To 13-3.
Well, the second half, Tottenham really came into it, and they had some good breaks and things like that. It was just, I don't know. I thought Liverpool had more chances.
So Chelsea got a 3-0 victory over Burnley. They played very well, and they beat them pretty good. So Hazard had a goal. Willian had one, and then Victor Moses had a late one, 89th. So Chelsea's off to a good start under the Italian. Palace and Bournemouth drew 1-1. 1-1. So Palace had a late goal from Scott Dan in the last few minutes of stoppage time to tie it up. So Everton got the 1-0 victory over Stoke City.
I think we've looked good at the start of the season.
Two wins in a draw. Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, Tottenham's a tough team, and I thought there were definitely times where we looked better than them, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, a draw versus Tottenham is still...
And, I mean, their goal was a great goal. Shea Given just had, like, the best goal of the season. I think he's going to win goal of the year. Own goal, Shea Given, a little unfortunate, but...
they shot it. It bounced off the post, hit Shea Given. Oh, no. So, okay, sorry. Shea Given got a tip on it, the tip of his fingers on it, so he almost saved it. And I'm hitting the post... It ricocheted off the post to the back of his head and ricocheted back into the goal, which sucks. But
it's another thing given for you.
It's interesting to see, like, Stoke is not starting as well as you'd think. They still have a pretty good team, and I don't think they lost anybody. So I'm a little surprised that they're not doing that well. But, I mean, they had some hard games. But, yeah, we'll see.
Leicester. Little Leicester.
Yeah.
Join the board. The party party.
On the board with their first win of the season.
Which is kind of crazy. It's their first win.
2-1. Vardy had the first. Wes Morgan.
Yeah, the big man.
With a second in the 52nd. And then Leroy Fair had one late in the 80th. So Vardy is on the board. Leicester's on the board. And we'll go to the next game. Southampton and Sunderland drew 1-1. So Sunderland finally got something out of Moyes. And they actually had the lead up until the 85th when Jay Rodriguez tied it. Defoe had the PK there, so 1-1 that game. Arsenal had a pretty good game against Watford. Arsenal scored 3. They won 3-1. Santi Cazorla had a PK. Alexis Sanchez had a great game. He scored a goal, and then Ozil had a goal as well. And then Watford got one back early in the second half, but it was too much Arsenal in that one. Manchester United and the Hull City Tigers. Undefeated this to come into this one. And Man U played pretty well. Their goalie, Hull's goalie, had some work to do throughout most of the game. And
Hull defended pretty well.
They were 2-0 to come into the game, right, into the season. Game.
United was definitely the better team, but Hull defended surprisingly well.
Yeah. And then the youngster subs on and scores an... What is it? Stoppage time goal?
Yeah, I think it was like 90 seconds.
Slams it in from point blank. Rooney, I'd have to say Rooney made a really nice play.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, he went around
the
defender.
Blew by this guy. This old man Rooney just flew down the sideline, flicked it by the defender, went right by him, and then just ripped it across. And
he had a quote after the game saying that Mourinho has restored their winning mentality. Granted, it's still early, but this could be a spark where he starts playing well again. Because honestly, I mean... He started doing poorly when the manager changed, so it could totally be the manager just either misplacing him or just not giving him the right instructions.
Rashford's going to be good coming in off the bench. Smalling subbed on late, so he's coming back. And then Mkhitaryan still hasn't played a lot of minutes. He subbed on in the second half pretty late, but, dude... When he, him and Pogba with the ball, they make other people just look like really stupid. Like their 1-2 touches go by guys, like just make them go the wrong way. Like they're just, their foot skills are really good.
I don't know if so. It was funny because the whole talk was the fact that Mata was actually starting. And first of all, Mourinho, I mean, he benched Mata for a while at Chelsea, so it's like, why would Mata be playing? I don't know if it's because maybe he didn't want to start Mkhitaryan immediately. But at this point, it's like, and Mata's actually done fine. Like I think he's had an okay games, but not. I mean, Mkhitaryan just looks way better.
I mean, the thing is maybe like they have a few guys that could come off the bench. I mean, obviously Mkhitaryan should be playing majority of the game, but it is nice if they were down like 1-0 or down a goal and like Mkhitaryan comes in off the bench for Mata. He's clearly going to make an instant impact.
Yeah, so, he does. It just feels like he would. Yeah. You'd want him that whole game.
So me and you, 3-0 to start
Two quick things about the game. One kind of cool story. So when they scored, it was really late on, so everybody was going nuts. Apparently, Fellaini, while the whole celebration was going on, noticed there was a woman in the stands getting crushed by the other fans cheering, and he immediately ran over to her, kind of alerted the, not the guards, whoever. The
stewards.
Yeah, the stewards at the stadium, and they... I don't know if she would have died,
her,
but yeah, they did that. And so that was kind of cool, especially because you're in the heat of the moment. I don't know. Fellaini needs to concentrate on his team. I don't know why he's saving these people.
Yeah, he clearly wasn't in the heat of the moment.
The other quick funny thing was that we always talked about one thing. We had talked about whether or not the Premier League is more exciting to watch, and one reason being that the coverage is different, and the crowd noise is always really loud. Yeah. And we'd always kind of speculated that maybe they turned up the crowd noise. I'm pretty confident that's true, simply because I was watching this game and it was raining really hard and the rain was really loud. At the Barcelona game, it was also raining. You couldn't hear it at all. Like, I did not know it was raining till they showed the stands and people were actually leaving because they weren't, like, they didn't have umbrellas and shit.
Because Barcelona sucked. Barcelona,
but anyway, so it was actually the other team leaving. But anyway, I feel like that's kind of proof that they are pumping up the noise. But I like it.
Makes sense.
I mean, it's still cool.
Like it.
Yeah, it's fun. So.
Yeah. All right. So the next day, following day, first game of the day was extremely boring. Middlesbrough got their point. West Brom got a point. 0-0 draw. So Middlesbrough's had a pretty good first few games here being promoted. They're 1 win, 2 draws.
Brad Guzan, man. Put him in goal. You're never going to give up a goal.
And then City had a pretty good performance against West Ham. They started off very well. Sterling scored pretty early. Sean called him out earlier in the year.
Sterling is looking better.
This game, I'm not saying he's... I think I watched pretty much all of it, and he was the best player on the field, I think. Him and Silva, but Sterling just... It was more than just his speed. Like, he...
Yeah. He had confidence. Yeah. He finished well. I don't know if he's going to live up... I mean, he had like a 50 million euro or whatever price tag, but he looks better.
So Sterling got a seventh minute goal. Fernandinho had a header. Mikel Antonio scored in the second half, early in the second half, to kind of make it seem like it was going to be an interesting game for a little while. And it was for a little while, but I mean, you still had a feeling City was going to pull this one out pretty easily. And then Sterling scored a late goal, pretty nifty goal too. He just kind of slid it in off no angle, beat the keeper.
I didn't know what he was going to do once he got around the keeper.
He had no angle. It snuck right in there.
Yeah.
And then Pep's reaction was pretty interesting. I thought he was pissed. It was a really weird reaction. Like, he, like, yelled into his hands, but it wasn't like a...
Oh,
it was like a... Kind of a... Looked like he was pissed off that maybe they allowed a goal or something. Like, he was just disappointed that it ended... I don't know. What is it? But you could tell he wasn't happy about something because it was just weird. But, I mean, he has to be happy. 3-1, they played pretty well. They beat West Ham, who's going to be a decent side this year.
Just a quick thing, since you said Pep's reaction, I just have to say this. One of my favorite Pep reactions. So he had already, I guess, they already knew he was going to City, so he watched the City versus Barcelona game. And I think it was when Messi nutmegged, I forgot, somebody, and Pep put his hands over his eyes, kind of like, oh my gosh, like, I can't watch kind of thing. It was, like, weirdly cute. I don't know. Anyway, keep going.
I saw Pep pick his nose in this game, too. It was very interesting. And he just kind of, like, rubbed it on himself. I was like, all right.
He's a regular guy.
But, even the announcers were talking about it. Like, they were up to, I think it was 2-0 at the time. And there was like a stoppage, and he was going nuts on the sideline, directing people, telling people what to do and stuff. And they're like, oh, he never stops coaching.
Yeah, he takes the game very seriously, which is sometimes his problem. That's why he gets stressed out. That's why he's bald. But yeah.
Did
he start with a full head of hair at Barcelona?
Yeah, he did. He looked like Fellaini, and then it all went away. But so I think that'll be a big deal. So I get that's it for the Premier League, right?
Well, yeah, but the matchups. So we have the international break. Yeah, but coming back, there's the
Manchester Derby.
United City. City is going to be a very good game. Honestly, any predictions?
United.
Where is it?
It is at Old Trafford.
2-1 United.
2-1 City.
I'll go
2-1 draw.
I'll go like 3-1 or 3-2 City.
Of course.
You always do that.
City's playing better, I think, than Man U right now.
No, maybe United's better.
3-1. United hasn't really incorporated Pogba in there quite yet. Mkhitaryan still isn't there. Smalling is still not in there. I think City is in a little bit of a better shape right now. But I think United will overtake.
Who's going to have a better game, Ibrahimovic or Sterling?
I'd hope Ibra, but you never know.
I want to see Sterling get a red card for defending Ibra in the box.
Yeah, I'd like to see that matchup. So that game, and then the Liverpool-Leicester game. Leicester's had a pretty tough, yeah. I don't know.
They really have.
Tough stretch to start. So that could, I mean, if they lose that game, man, Leicester, I don't know, Rob.
But then I guess then they
fluke?
Get all
you
the...
You think it was a fluke?
But they get all the difficult teams out of the way.
Oh,
so if
please.
They can,
they're
going to
lose all the bad teams, too.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's pretty much it.
All right, so let's move on. We had the Champions League draw this week. We'll go through group by group. So Group A, PSG, Arsenal, Basel, and Ludogorets. Predictions?
Not a good group,
yeah. PSG, I mean, Arsenal. Yeah, PSG.
PSG and then Arsenal?
I think so.
All right, Group B, we have Benfica, Napoli, Dinamo Kiev, and Besiktas.
I think Napoli's going to win it.
I think Benfica's going to beat Napoli.
They could, but either way, so one thing, as we go through it, so there's always that question of what's the group of death, and I think one thing people make a mistake is like, oh, what has the hardest teams?
Yeah.
But if you are the most the top two teams, what does it matter? You're still going
to
qualify.
I think that's going to be an interesting group, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
it could be interesting. I think Benfica's going to beat them.
I think they're hard. So.
My pick for group of death, Group C, Barcelona, Man City, Mönchengladbach, and Celtic.
Yeah, that
Celtic's always a wild card. Celtic throws some point, you know.
They
Celtic,
beat us. Was not last year? Was it last year? 2 years ago? They beat us. It was a really surprising win. I don't know. Yeah, it's
hard for me not to see Barcelona and City get through this. But I think, you know, those matchups against Celtic is going to what's going to determine first and second place.
I don't know too much about Mönchengladbach.
Brendan Rodgers, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
he's got some
experience. He's had a weird start to the season, so I don't even know where Celtic is right now. I think it's actually, it's a surprisingly difficult group.
They actually have a lot of, I think, Premier League guys. I saw they signed Scott Sinclair. I think Colo Torre is actually there now, too. They have, like, a bunch of outcasts. But... I mean, for the Scottish League, obviously, they're pretty good.
Yeah, and Rangers is back. I mean, they have been, but they're in second, so whatever.
Group D is Bayern Munich, Atletico Madrid, PSV, and Rostov.
I think that'll be interesting because Bayern Munich versus Atleti, that rematch, because I think, I'm sure Munich is still a bit salty. Not that it matters. It's still, I mean, it does matter because obviously it changes who you play next round, but if you want to win the Champions League, you got to beat whoever's in front of you. So
Munich's going to wreck.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Atleti is always underestimated. They always are.
All right, Group E, we have CSKA Moscow, Leverkusen, Tottenham, and Monaco.
I think this is
this
a group
is pretty
of death.
Balanced.
This is the most up in the air.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
A group
by
of death.
It.
This is just like all average teams.
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like everybody could win.
Yeah.
Except maybe CSKA Moscow. I don't know much about them.
Then they all
they're
could
probably
get knocked out first round.
Yeah, exactly. But like Monaco, it looks like they're better than we expect. Tottenham's always a decent team. Like we're. This could really go anyway. I don't really know.
This is definitely the most even group.
Competitive.
Group F, Madrid, Dortmund, Sporting, and Legia.
So I'm actually going to the Sporting Legia game.
Nice.
Really?
There it is. We'll have a reporter on the ground.
Right. Where is it going to be?
Well, the game, they play at each place.
Oh,
so
of course.
It's at Sporting.
Oh, okay.
It's I think it's like a Thursday night game or Wednesday night.
When is that?
Cool.
Wednesday night.
October?
September 26th, 27th.
Oh, you're gonna be gone for FIFA release, man.
That's right.
So I guess you're gonna have to brush up on all your favorite Legia players.
No, I know a lot of Sporting players.
Yeah.
They just signed Bas Dost.
Oh really?
Yeah. Sporting is not no one to mess with. I mean I'll in a couple minutes I'll look up their roster. They typically have very good players. João Mario just left to go to Inter. So Inter just got João Mario. Mm-hmm. He was one of the better Europa players. But they typically always have a decent squad. And that's where like all the good players come from, like Ronaldo, Nani, Figo. Like most of them all come from Sporting. So they have a good young
that'd be cool to watch.
Academy as well.
Do you know where Legia is from?
Poland.
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 All right, Group G, we have Leicester, Porto, Bruges, and Copenhagen.
That's another interesting
Leicester
group.
Could get out of this.
Oh, Leicester could definitely
get out
of this.
But they also could just not.
But Leicester, I mean, we act like Leicester is a garbage team. I don't think they're as good as like City or United. But like they're a pretty solid side.
Against any of those European sides, I would say they're not a favorite.
I don't know.
Anyone.
I think this is a good group for them.
Oh,
like, with the teams
they
could have
drawn.
Well,
they were one probably like a one pot team or something. So they're obviously going to get...
Oh, yeah. One pot team.
One pot. Just,
they share one pot.
One pot.
No, I mean, but we always say this. What do you mean by any of the European sides? Like, nobody is really, at this point, standing up to, like, Atleti, Bayern, Barca, and Real Madrid. So, yeah, maybe they're not on that level. But, I mean, if they can beat teams in the Premier League, you're right. I don't think they're at United or City's level this year. But... I mean, I don't know how far they'll go, but they could top this group. And that could mean they play a crappier team. Maybe, yep. What if they play a team off the what I consider the group of death or whatever, you know, if like they play like CSKA Moscow or Tottenham or something, they could win. They could actually get further than you expect in this, which would be really cool.
And then finally in Group H, we have Juventus, Sevilla, Lyon, and Dinamo Zagreb.
I don't know enough about Lyon. I can't imagine Zagreb doing much, but Seville, Juventus, I mean, they're going to top, right? Yeah. I can't imagine anything else. Seville's a decent side. I don't
That's
know
a
enough
decent
about Lyon.
Group though.
Yeah, too. It is. Because I think it's more a fight for team, second place. Yeah. But I don't know. That'll be interesting to watch. So we'll have to see how it ends up unfolding. I think the first set of games is in September. So I forgot Champions League is starting up pretty soon. So that'll be exciting to watch. But that'll do it for the first half. We will catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Welcome back. We're going to move into the topic for the day. So there was a recent change to the Champions League rules. So right now, the way it works is based on coefficients and things like that. You basically have a certain number of teams in your league automatically qualify based on their place, and then a certain number of teams that need to qualify by playing a playoff match in order to get in. So, for example, the Premier League actually has kind of gone down, and now they have 3.5 spots where the half spot they have to qualify, this year being Manchester City, who did qualify. Serie A has 2.5 spots, and Roma was the team that had to qualify, and they actually didn't qualify.
So they got down to Europa League.
Yeah, so they went down to Europa League. So now the change is, if you're one of the top four leagues in the world by coefficient, which is Serie A, Bundesliga, Premier League, and La Liga.
Not in that order?
Yeah, in that order.
Worst the best, right?
So if you are one of those top four leagues, you automatically, the top four teams in your league, based on finishing place, they all qualify, meaning that Manchester City, Roma, and I don't remember who's in fourth in Serie A, probably like Inter, Fiorentina, or something like that.
But Roma was.
No, they were third.
Roma was third, yeah.
Who's fourth?
That's a good question.
The top four teams automatically qualify, no qualification matches. So that's actually a big change. That means that literally you have to get top four. That's all you need. There's no qualification issue at all. My understanding is the reason why this happened, there's a lot of differences. So Rob and I had talked about this. He had said that one thing is there's the potential for the Premier League.
Yeah. So my theory is, so right now Spain, their coefficient, Spain is 87. They're like not even close. Germany has 67 points. England has 63. Italy has 61. And France, who's fifth, has 45. And then it goes down from there. So there's a huge gap between the top four and the rest, right?
And it shows there's a reason why they picked the top four. Like, the French league is not going to get four spots.
Sure. But also, I think this has... my theory on this, the conspiracy theory that I have, is that this was pushed now because England is at risk of losing one of their Champions League spots to Italy. So, basically, England over the next 2 years, without being super technical, is going to lose four of these coefficient points. And if Italy had a good year this year, and if some of the English teams got knocked out in the group stage, then Italy could have taken a spot back in 2018, which is when this is getting enacted anyway.
So Rob's happy.
No, well, so it's interesting because I'm pretty sure this was to protect English teams. Well, because so, I would be willing to bet, I don't have the numbers, but I'd be willing to bet that English teams probably drive more viewer ratings than other countries'
probably.
Teams. Especially when you're talking about four of those teams, right? So Spain, like, Sevilla or whoever the fourth place team probably isn't going to drive as much as, you know,
Liverpool. Liverpool's a good example, right? Because they've had a strong following, even though they've basically sucked for a long time.
So I'm pretty sure this was to secure a lot of the TV money for the English spots.
So you think that's the reason why they did it? Is they were scared the coefficient was getting close?
Yeah.
So that's one theory.
But it didn't get any closer this year.
What do you mean? It's they're just starting this year. But it did get closer. I mean, they were only like within 2 points of starting this year. Yeah, but I mean, like,
with the results in the Champions League and Europa League last year, they didn't gain on it.
But the potential was there, certainly. Like, they could mess up because they've done so poorly. And I'll be honest, I don't see, even though City and United have done a lot better, I don't see them necessarily challenging the top dogs yet. So it could continue to happen.
Excuse me, Sean?
Yeah. So the other theories on it. So one thing is that
United has to get into the Champions League. Too.
They have to get in.
Obviously, will. They're in first place.
Just three games.
So one thing people were saying is that a bunch of the big clubs, I don't know which ones in specific, had been pushing for this Super League idea where you wouldn't play in your domestic league. It's just they'd all be
I
in.
Never
that
saw
big
that happen.
Actually, I didn't read it. Well, I heard this. They were saying how Europa League is such a waste. That they were trying to eliminate Europa League, essentially. They're like, what? Because it doesn't draw, like, teams aren't really trying to win it until, like, you know, late rounds. So they're saying, like, getting in that is almost like, it's just
Europa,
like,
it's weird
so
because.
Somebody said something about them trying to eliminate the Europa League.
But see, it's so weird because with Europa League, it's kind of cool. Like, Seville, there's no way they're going to win the Champions League, but they won 3 Europas. That's kind of cool to win.
Yeah, but
the problem comes in when you have, yeah, like United, who doesn't care about winning Europa.
Do you think they just lose group stage on purpose so they get relegated
so they can win Europa again? I don't know. Yeah, I kind of still think Europa should still be around. Maybe they change it so the top four leagues
I think it's big for those clubs in Europe,
yeah,
as far as money goes, because you're talking about teams, especially like in the English or the top five countries. You know,
so they should expand it.
No, not necessarily expand it, but I'm saying it's a big money opportunity for clubs who aren't going to make Champs League.
Yeah,
like West Ham, for example.
But teams that make Champs League drop into that, so it's BS. That they should get rid of.
That I don't like.
Yeah,
I think
I'm not a big fan of that.
So why don't they just add more teams and just get rid of that?
Because then it gets a little crazy too. Because then I don't know. Then anybody can qualify, which is some concern that people had. People had that concern.
Add
in
MLS
Europe.
Teams, make it like worldwide. Add MLS, add freaking Brazil, add Argentina. Boca Juniors playing in that.
The E won't stand for Europe. It'll just be everywhere. Yeah. So the first theory is obviously that they wanted to prevent this Super League from happening. And apparently there's a lot. I don't know who's pressuring, but apparently there's a lot of pressure to do this. I don't know why. Like, domestic leagues, I feel like, is a big part of football. But anyway, the other thing. Is this is probably also an easy way to get more money. Even, I mean, you could argue, yeah, Premier League probably has the best fan base of the top four, but even Serie A, like, people would watch Roma and Fiorentina play well over even, like, I don't know, even honestly, like CSKA Moscow and stuff like that. People would watch those games. So by having the top four qualify, even if they're not as good, like Manchester City had to qualify against Steaua Bucharest.
Yeah.
I'm sure people want to watch City over Steaua Bucharest, or honestly any of these leagues. Like, people will watch Villarreal over that. So it's also a money thing. I think it's one of those funny thing about sport. It'll feel more exciting even if it isn't necessarily. Like, there could be a lower level team that's actually better, but you feel less excited about it because you don't know who they are.
Championship, so.
Yeah.
Because they expanded it, you had teams like Iceland and Hungary come in and, like, do really well.
True. And they did. They beat the top dogs. But do you think the viewership of Iceland versus France was as big as it would have been France versus England?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I can't imagine. 99% of their country watched it.
Which is like the city of Manchester.
But I don't know. It was a good story, though. So I think a lot of people watched it. But I mean, I get your point. It's weird for me trying to figure out whether or not I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Because
part of
me is like, I've been waiting for like 3 years for Italy to take the spot back. And it would have been like a huge sense of accomplishment for Serie A teams
to big
take
F
their
you
spot.
To the Premier League.
So now it's like, oh, well, they're just
gifting
it.
He has it. He doesn't want it anymore.
No, I didn't say that. But at the same time, like, Milan is clearly not challenging for top three spots anytime. So like, we have at best that fourth place spot. And now it's guaranteed Champions League instead of just, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of just the top three. So, you know, it for where Milan is right now, it's kind of a gift.
And it's funny to think, one thing I should mention, I don't actually know, I probably should look this up, I'm not exactly sure how this changes qualifying for the other clubs, the other leagues. I assume it just means there's one spot for the champion, but there's a lot of other European nations, so I don't know how that's going to work. And it's funny to think how much this has changed, because it's called the Champions League because originally you had to win your league.
Champions Cup.
Yeah. So you had to win it. And now it's gone from you have to win it to you have to be in the top four places, which, you know, that's whatever, 20% chance of getting in? Like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, but obviously the way that they weight it, the coefficient, is teams like from Romania are never going to make it up to getting three
spots. Yeah, but they're still champions. That's what makes them,
Right, but they're never going to have three spots in the Champions League.
And it's funny, I wonder what team for outside of the major teams, and not including France, because France obviously PSG, but one of the smaller leagues, how far
Portugal.
A team's gone farthest. Oh, you're right, yeah. Porto's won it. Yeah, you're right. And actually that year, didn't they play a team from Greece? No, sorry. I'm thinking of Euros.
I'm thinking of Euros. Yeah.
But no, they played Monaco, I think. They didn't play like a huge club. But so I guess it can happen. I shouldn't underestimate that.
Well,
but
once.
Yeah, once. It's still interesting. I think we'll see whether or not the fourth place team in every
still
league is
still more titles than Man City.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. That's a solid point.
What a random stat to
pull. Oh, just pulling it out of nowhere, Rob.
How many Champs Leagues do you have, Dave?
A couple.
Yeah, how many does Milan have?
Well, you have more than a couple. Three, right?
I don't even know. I mean, since I've been watching them, I think we have one.
We can't count ours on one hand, Dave.
Oh, Robbie. Don't get me started.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Don't get me started. They're going into next year, so they're going to have another one. So they're
going to win the Champions League next year?
I told Rob they would.
Ibra, 36-year-old striker winning it.
This year, they're going to get in it. Next year, with their lineup, they're winning Champions League. Yeah. They're going to make a few more changes, so... Ibra, I mean, they're stacked.
Well, you got to get it in because you only have 3 years of Mourinho.
But
so.
What?
Well, two.
All and the people as Mourinho only have 2 years done well in Champions League, Sean.
What?
Yeah.
He went with Inter, Porto. He didn't win with Real Madrid. No.
Yeah,
did he? No. Ancelotti was the one that brought La Decima.
Sure,
yeah. Because that was kind of a big deal. So he won with, Inter and...
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, Inter and Porto.
He's winning titles at United. One of them being Champions League.
Would...
Sean.
Well, you have two years to do it, Dave. No.
3 years.
I don't
two.
Think that's gonna
he
happen.
Sucks in the
well,
third
okay.
year.
Well, okay. It could happen if United gets the draw that Real Madrid got. Actually, it's funny. So PK, after the group draw, he was being snarky. I don't know. I still think
snarky.
Real Madrid has a difficult group. I mean, they'll definitely be top two, but Dortmund's a strong team, so they're not guaranteed first. So I think it's kind of silly. But some interviewer asked PK, like, what kind of draw would you want? And he made a joke saying, I want like eighth in the German league, then like whatever, fourth in the Serie A, eighth in the German league, and then fourth in the Premier League or something like that, which is all the draws that Real Madrid got last year because they had to play like Wolfsburg, Roma, and they had to play Manchester City. And though apparently Ronaldo shot back and he just showed pictures of all the cups he won. Like he showed him kissing the European Cup and stuff like that. So anyway, it'll be interesting to watch. I'm excited for Champs League. We'll see how these changes affect it. But that'll do it for this week. Thank you for listening to us. We hope to catch you next week. And if you want to listen to us more, you can catch us on thecommentist.com. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can rate and subscribe to
us.
And
Stitcher and Google Play.
We are everywhere. Just look us up. Although, actually, if you look up The Unwind, some other stuff comes. Or sorry, if you look up Kiss of Christ, you find us. But some of our other podcasts, such as The Unwind.
Yeah, Beard of Vegans.
Roll the Hit.
Sky and Fire.
Those are the good ones. You'll find those on the Commentist, so please, you can check us out on that. And we hope to have you listening next week.
Thanks.
See you.